Good morning and welcome to the conference call of Movida to discuss the earnings regarding the fourth quarter 2020. Today with us are Renato Franklin, CEO, and Edmar Neto, Administrative, Financial, and IR Officer. Right now, all participants are on listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to start the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you need assistance during the conference call, please reach the operator by pressing star zero. Before moving on, we would like to let you know that any statements made during this conference call relative to the company's business prospects, projections, operation, and financial goals are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Movida management and rely on information currently available for the company. Forward-looking statements are not a guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions since they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. General economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the company's future results and lead to results that will materially differ from those in such forward-looking statements. We'll now turn the call to Mr. Renato Franklin. Please, Mr. Franklin, you may go on. Well, thank you. Good day, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to talk about the results of the fourth quarter and also the year of 2020. The year of 2020, just to start with a remark, transformed mankind. Everybody sees that. And we have to see what's positive about that. And what's positive is that it transformed relations, putting people more in the center of attention and care. So I'll start this conference call thanking first our people, the families of our people that kept the operations that were considered essential services with safety, empathy, taking care of our people and our clients. All that said, for Movida, it was also a year of great transformation. A year that, in addition of gaining maturity, having a more mature company, we also accelerated several initiatives. As the pandemic accelerated change of habits, digitization, it was no different in Movida. So the main message in today's conference call is the consolidation of a new level. This is the message that we are going to convey in our presentation. And I give you examples of some highlights on page three. First, even in a year of pandemic, a growth of 8,600 cars. We are going to talk about growth further on, but really a good recovery. The fourth quarter, the best quarter in the history of the company, consolidating a new level. Revenues, 4.1 billion. Growth over 19, even with the second quarter with lockdown and everything that happened. EBITDA of almost 900 million reals, again, reinforcing our discipline of costs, improvement of margins, 20% higher than that of 19. The EBITDA margin of rent-a-car went up 54%. And when we take a look at net income, almost five times growth, larger than the third quarter, more than double the same period last year, with a total of 184 million. Edmar is going to give you more information. When we get the recurrent net income, we see a new level to the company. On the right of the slide, we have two important landmarks that in the midterm are going to make a difference for the company. First, the issuance of a bond, the first fundraising in the capital, external capital market with a bond connected to sustainability, $500 million in 10 years with the commitment of reducing our carbon emissions by 30% up to 2030. The first sustainable bond in the industry, once again, Movida, just pulling new trends with new sources of funding to support the company growth plan. All that said, I'm going to go to slide number To talk a bit more about growth, we always show the slide of the evolution of our fleet. Once again, we have a strong history of growth. Even with the pandemic, we almost added 9,000 cars, which show the strong fundamentals of the sector. And what is the most important? We have a CAGR of 16% since the IPO, even with the pandemic, a strong CAGR, but this new level gives us even more possibility of growth. If you had the possibility of joining us in the Movida Day last year, we showed that matrix talking about our potential growth and improvement of margin. Today, we can grow in our balance sheet, very mature process and even better execution. And we are going to talk about that further on, but we see a very positive year for Movida in 2021. Let's talk a bit about each business. Let's go to slide number 5 and start with our rent-a-car. With a record net revenues, 359 million, and a record occupancy rate, 5 percentage points higher. And that reflects we have healthy competition, loads of demand, rational competition. We are focused on individuals. And once again, we had the record revenues per car, 2,268 reais a month. 12% higher than the fourth quarter of 19. That was already very strong. Daily, we are growing 7.6%. And on the bottom of the page, we talk about our commitment of gaining efficiency, getting to 500 reais in 2020, but going better since 2017. And quarter on quarter, remember that in the fourth quarter of 19, we had tax credit that did have an impact on our numbers. But we are very confident with rent-a-car, very positive fundament, the market growing, a very positive view for 2021 onwards. Let's go to page 6, talking about fleet management and outsourcement. So you see, you're talking about brand new cars of individuals, which almost just GTF, which is already included here and contributes to the growth of 2020. We relaunched that with a digital platform. We are the only company that are really delivering cars in almost immediately, 2 days. So we have 140 million of net revenues per car. Because of the impact of the brand new car, it goes down. It's not that the ticket is lower. And you can go to our brand new cars platform and you're going to see cars that are very interesting for you. We have promotions that the first 3 months we give a discount. Of course, this is priced, but for the client, it's a high appeal for them to make the transaction. And that's impact revenue per car. You see the number of daily rates, 16% higher. And we have, again, contracted revenues higher than what we have today. And here, we are replicating the improvements and that we have in other areas and reducing the cost to buy car year after year, generating a new level of margins to our business as well. On page 7, we talked about used cars, what we call the semi-novos. The highlight in 2020 was that we were able to confirm the maturity of this area. The area that sells our assets, basically, so to speak, with record net revenues in 2020. When we take a look quarter against quarter, you have to remember our strategy to privilege rent-a-car. So when we say that we sold 9,800 cars in the fourth quarter, it's because we decided to keep more cars in the rent-a-car business to continue to provide services to our clients and keep the rent-a-car operations. You see a very positive margin. You see in the third quadrant, an average ticket of 50,000 reais, 19% of gross margin in semi-novos. So we have a result to be collected in the sales of the car. Prices are high, even an increase of prices of brand new cars that will pass on to used cars. So throughout the years of 2021, we are going to see very heated sales because prices went up in the end of 2020. And you can see that our expectations, even in the year of pandemic, we met our target, again showing the maturity of Seminovos and seeing that we are much more prepared to support companies' growth. Now I'm going to turn to Edmar, that is going to give you a bit more color on our financials and talk about our capacity of growth and how we are a lot better positioned. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Renato. I will invite you to go to slide number 8. When we talk about the depreciation by car, as we had told you before, in fourth quarter, we reduced depreciation by car, both for the rent-a-car business and the fleet management outsourcing. In the rent-a-car, about 10% lower. In fleet management, a bit higher. Basically, because more and more we are selling our fleet management cars in our stores and therefore attaining better margins. When we take a back of LTM, we are still at an amount of 3,400 for the rent-a-car and 3,800 for the fleet management cars. But we have really to be careful to take a look at the market, and we are going to talk about that further on. About our balance sheet, as we can see here, as of 2020, we already have an accrued depreciation that is booked at a level that we believe is quite suitable for this moment where we are going through with high volatility in car prices. Going to page 9, I'm going to talk about the results of the fourth quarter. The highlight here is our consolidated EBITDA and EBIT that were record. If you see one another business line did have an involution of margins in the fourth quarter, the positive highlight is for the Seminovos. In the rent-a-car, we are delivering an EBITDA margin that's quite expressive. Again, you have the difference of the tax credits of last year's that favor the comparison for 2019. In fleet management and outsourcing, we got to 61%, which clearly has to do with our growth in brand new cars. We still have an inventory in the operation, and in the Seminovos, we already talked about the good results. So consolidated almost 4 points of margins and 43 million compared to the previous period. EBIT, you'll see the higher level of depreciation that can be felt, but again, the highlight is Seminovos with an evolution of almost 11 percentage points and a new record if you think of half year with 72 million over last year, 2019, and a margin of 44%, which is also very high. To talk about 2020, we go to slide number 10. You see rent-a-car margin a bit almost stable, even with the pandemic. We had, even having the second quarter, much lower than our average. Fleet management outsourcing in the year and an exponential growth of 3% in margins, more than 343 million. And in the used cars, a positive EBITDA margin, almost 90 million EBITDA in Seminovos. So you see 148 million compared over 2019 with growth of 20%. In EBIT, remember, we have a load of higher depreciation along the year, but still, when you make the comparison in consolidated numbers, we do see an evolution of margin of 0.4 percentage points and also an evolution that led to a record EBIT of 482 and a record EBITDA of 895. Now, when we go to page 11, we bring you the consolidated results. As Renato mentioned, we are consolidating a new level of results for the company in the fourth quarter. This is an important result to us. Higher revenues, 4.1 billion. In the quarter, revenue is slightly lower because of the lower amount of cars sold. When you talked about the EBITDA, and I'm talking about the right size of the slide on the top, growth of 20%, a record in the quarter, 305 million in the fourth quarter, plus 43 million compared to the previous year. EBIT to your left, in the bottom part, the same, a new level, 220 million, margin of 44 percentage points, and net income also quite strong, showing a recovery as of the third quarter and a consolidation in the fourth quarter. Our net income in the quarter, and I'm here, I'm in the bottom right corner, 139 million of recurring income and an accounting income of 184 million with a margin of 28% in the rental car business. Again, new levels for the company. I would like to talk a bit of cash and our debt schedule. This was a very important topic during 2020. We closed the year with more than 1.7 billion in cash, and that's really a profile that we believed would be able to navigate throughout the year as we did in the past. However, in January and February, there was the bond, which is really transformational for Movida, with regard to duration of debt, access to new markets, with a depth that is very important to us. Once more, Movida is first, being the first rental car company to issue this kind of bond, the first rental car company in the world issuing this bond that is connected to sustainability. You see here, we somehow address the next 7 years of maturity with the funds from this bond. On page 13, I just give you some important aspects of this new scenario. First, our indebtedness, we continue with very strong discipline, with very positive indicators. The highlight is our leverage. With the growth that we showed in the fourth quarter, we have 2.7 times, slightly higher than fourth quarter 2019, but way far from our covenants. The highlight is the coverage of interest, both for EBITDA and EBIT, which are indicators that are getting better quarter-on-quarter, again, hitting new records. On the right of the slide, which is very important, when we look further on, we have a highlight about what we can grow in Movida. keeping all the financial discipline that we have in place so far. So when you take a look at the EBITDA of a bit more than 300 million that we delivered in the fourth quarter, with the growth that we expect for 21, it is very easy to expect to have an addition of at least 36% going to 1.2. EBITDA, which is really quite apart from anything we have seen so far. Additionally, the numbers also show, when we compare 2020 and 2019, that we had an advance of margins of 3 percentage points. That is more room for the company to grow, both talking about nominal values with growth of EBITDA and the improvement of margins. So that makes a difference and gives us flexibility. And remember, we talked about that in November, and the new table that we have, the new price list, already shows that if you take a look at our consolidated margins or an EBITDA of 1.2, we can already picture the company growing by 30,000-35,000 cars without stressing our balance sheet. In the bottom part of this slide, this is a slide that we are going to keep because of our bond investors, and we show how the bond as it is described in the bond description. So here we eliminate all effects, and we get to 970 million. This is the EBITDA that counts for the measurement of covenants for Movida. It's important to mention that we addressed profit as accounting profit, and our recurring profit, we are extracting two positive adjustments that we had in the quarter, which were the reversals of accountings receivable of 17 million and also assets that was about 51 million. That's so net of taxes, that is the difference that we have of the result of 1.2 and 900. Going to cash flow, and once again, this was a topic that was quite important during the year of 2020. Well, clearly here we see the evolution that took place in 2020. So we went from the EBITDA of 895. Then here we have the conciliation with the activities of purchasing and selling cars. You see that we are generating cash in fleet renewal, about 400 million reals, which is what you see here. And that leads the company for a cash generation of 1.5 billion. When we talk about cash generated before growth, and here we're already taking into account financial results, we are talking about 1.2 billion in cash generation, an evolution of 1 billion reals compared to 2019, which is very important again in such adverse scenario. With that, we are able to fund our growth, and we show that our cash flow is much better than it was compared to 2019, basically because our evolution in operations. All that said, I'm going to turn the call back to Renato for his final considerations.
Well, thank you very much, Edmar. Now we are going to slide number 15, where we talk a bit about the recognitions of 2020, a challenging year, but with several recognitions. We highlight one in each area. The first rent-a-car company, according to Isto É Dinheiro magazine, in terms of clients, two important awards, first leader in social responsibility, and second leader in internal call center operation, valuing our operations, our customer services. Congratulations, everyone. And in terms of investor relations, basically also first place among small caps and the best CEO and the best CFO. So we thank everyone for the assessment. I also had the honor of being recognized as the Valor Executive from Valor Economico newspaper, and also the Great Place to Work Award that recognizes our people, our work environment, which is sustainability. And talking about sustainability on page 16, these are the recognitions that we had with regard to ESG. Just to remind our strategy, we're in our three pillars, we have better company with lots of empowerment, diversity, but with commitment of profit and generation of value to all stakeholders. We have inclusion by better mobility, going to lower economic classes, trying to have solutions to everyone. And the minority is becoming a minority, and the commitment of a better planet, of lower carbon emissions up to 2030, and then positive carbon emissions as of 2040. And remember our commitments, just for you to remember, we were the first public rental company to be certified as B company, the second public company in Brazil to get this certificate. And we have the second recognition when you talk about the United Nations. We had the meeting in the United Nations in the end of the year, and Movida was the only Brazilian company. I was the only Brazilian that was part of this meeting. Remember the Paris Agreement with head of states of all the countries in the world, and Movida was presented as a case of a company that has a commitment with a better, more sustainable planet and with governance practices recognized worldwide. In addition, on the right side, we had the certification of ISE and ICO2, again showing that we are on the right path, although we are sure there is a lot yet to do with regard to ESG. Finally, on slide 17, let's say what we have for the future. What are our avenues of growth? We see growth. Let's think about different pillars. First, OEMs. People are always talking about that. Well, first, we have very good agreements for 21. Today, we already have commitments with OEMs signed to deliver good growth in 21. We already are discussing 22 with them with a very positive view. We do see that there is a bottleneck of supply, especially in OEM supply chain, that do impact production. Some OEMs are a bit more optimistic, think that things are going to be settled in April. Others say June. It can be the first half of the year, second half of the year, but we have our plan in place. We just have to know if we are going to step up our accelerator now or a bit later on. But you know also the discipline of costs, our very austere management. We are a low-cost company. That's our difference. We have always said that. This gives us speed, agility, and better margins. We focus on digital to provide the best experience to the client with best efficiency. In the rent-a-car business, as I said, we have a very high demand. The market is growing by 15, 20% a year, depending on the capacity of players' growth in the market, but a good demand, a pressure of prices up, and Movida very well positioned on individuals and clients. Each player has a different niche. Each focus on a segment. We focus on individuals with a better average ticket. We have online sales to individuals, and this is a market that will continue to grow and will deliver ever better margins. Fleet management outsourcing, we said that we have room to grow in the corporate segment, and our focus in fleet management outsourcing is to grow on two avenues: brand new cars with individuals. We are very well positioned in the market. To me, it's going to be the largest market for our kind of company in the future. And also those that sell to small and medium-sized company that also have good margin, and we have much room to work. Good credit, good margin, contracted profitability, visibility for the company in terms of cash generation. And on the right of the page, you have Seminovos. Seminovos is going through a new cycle. We now do not have to prove ourselves to everyone. We are mature. And this new cycle is going to be more and more digital. We want to improve the capacity of retail, enhancing our digital tools that will give us scale to sell at a new level, enabling the company to grow without bottlenecks in the sale of Seminovos. A very important positive experience that we had during the pandemic. Today, we have a very good level of Seminovos, NPS above 30%, which is very good, and reinforcing our digital tools as a major difference of Movida in the market for the sale of Seminovos. All that said, what do we see further on? A new position. It is what Edmar said, a strong balance sheet, reinforced cash, long duration. If you see what we have in cash today, we are quite comfortable in terms of duration, in addition to several sources of capital to fund us if necessary. And then we see an EBITDA of 22% that gives our 35,000 cars without changing our leverage EBITDA of 1.2 billion. And remember, each car bringing EBITDA 1 to 2 months later. Brand new cars that you have a very high margin, the contribution is even better. So the growth is exponential. You grow, and then because you grow, you can grow more. We have no bottlenecks in terms of processes. Our structure is a lot stronger, mature, and prepared to grow. And with market fundamentals that enable us to have the right price, capturing better margin, having gains of scale. And the first quarter is already doing well. We are almost ending the second month of the first quarter. So we already have visibility of the first quarter. I can say there is nothing different of fourth quarter. We have still very high prices with Seminovos. We have a conservative view because we don't know what is going to happen after we go back to the new normal. So we are conservative. But what we see based on numbers and sales is that we are going to have a very high margin with Seminovos that will contribute to positive results. Depreciation is a timely issue. We are a bit more conservative now, and the profit will come further on. This is a standing that we decided to have. But the industry is going to have a strong year, and Movida is in a more and more differentiated position in terms of digital relation, relationship with our clients, avenues of growth to generate value to all stakeholders. This is what we had to tell you. And now we are going to open for your questions, and we can go in detail to any of your questions. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your question from the queue, just press star 2. Our first question comes from Lucas Marchiori from BTG Pactual. Hello, everyone. Good morning, Renato, Ed. Thanks for the call. Congratulations for the quarter. I have two questions on my side. First, Renato, you already mentioned in the end of the presentation about the industry, and this is something that we want to understand better. What do you think the new normal is going to be like, and when? We talked about second quarter, third quarter, but do you think that it can go to the second half of the year? We see that some OEMs are talking about that. And also, what are the conditions that OEMs are asking to negotiate? What do you think is going to be the price increase year on year? Just for us to when we go back to normal in terms of car supply. And my second question, when we think about the consolidation that you had, and I say to Vox and what is it going like? Because I think you have already completed Vox. And CS Frotas, the second movement, what kind of integration you're going to have? What payment mode are you going to do? Is it going to be the issuance of equity? What is it going to be like? Thank you for your question. First, OEMs giving you a bit more color. We closed agreements in the end of 2020, so normalized numbers for the whole of the year. All OEMs have met the commitment or even delivered a bit more. We do have a bottleneck. There are some inputs, some parts that do affect some versions, and we can change the mix to have a bit more flexibility in having the cars. But yesterday, Fernando Simões had a meeting with an OEM, and they say that March, the maximum April, everything is going to be back to normal. We have, a ramp up in OEMs that is not that fast. So what we see is that production is going to be truly resumed along the second quarter. And then people ask, are you going to be able to buy what you want in April, or is it going to be May or June? Well, it can be one or the other, but quite transparent, I don't think it's going to be much later than that. We have had the opportunity of closing very good alliances with OEMs. We are recognized as a company that is more present on the individual segment, and that has enabled us to negotiate better with capacity to choose better models, different cars, as we did, with other OEMs in very different actions. So we see things going quite smoothly. I do not see higher risks, but of course, we don't know what the pandemic is going to go from now on. But if things continue as is, vaccines are advancing, perhaps a bit slower than we expected, but I think gradually things are going to get better. I don't see the problem with OEMs really extending too long. About the Tucows Vox integrated, this is a player. Small acquisitions in this time make more sense. Vox integrates our fleet management operation. They have a more premium niche. They have the recognition of the market, and they complement to us. Can we have more? Oh, yes, we are always looking into that. In our basic growth plan, we have organic growth, the 35,000 cars, gains of scale, but we're always looking to the market. And if opportunities make sense, if we really can have a good market positioning, we are going to take a look at that. About CS, Edmar is going to give you a bit more color. We don't have much definition on that. But anyway, Edmar, well, thank you. And on the web, there are several questions about that, but let me try and answer them. Well, remember that. Information that should leave SIMPAR, but we have to wait for SIMPAR to make the move. Probably this is going to be a 100% equity operation, but we have to wait. We don't have anything detailed about CS so far. Right now, we are just heating up, so to speak, to start moving in a more effective way to put together a proposal. What is important to mention, and this is based on SIMPAR's notice, the structure of the decision basically is that the company is going to listen to their independent shareholders, and the vote is going to be of minority shareholders, specifically about this transaction. So we are going to follow the highest levels of governance of the market for this type of transaction between related parties. Okay, thank you very much. It's very clear. Thank you very much. Thank you. Our next question comes from Vitor Suzaki from Bradesco BBI. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Congratulations on your results. I have two questions. The first, you talked about a new level of results for Movida. Looking to the future, does it make sense for us to consider that this new level talks about a net income of a specific amount? And the second question, it hit the media that CADE asked some companies to give their opinions about the operation of Localiza. Could you talk a bit about that? Thank you, Vitor, for your question. Well, for the first question, we see a very strong first quarter. So as you mentioned, we are going to keep the same level. The fourth quarter already had 139 million of recurring profit. And the first quarter is doing well with the same margin. So I don't think it's going to be very different. Of course, February has 28 days with a slight impact. But other than that, everything continues as is. Good prices, Seminovos with good margin, fleet management growing. So we see a strong year for the future with growing margins, and we expecting all business lines with growth and marginal gains of margin. As for the second question, what is our view? I would like to reinforce. Of course, there are gains of scale, but there is a positive side to us because it reduces competition. And when there is less competition, prices go up. And if prices go up, we have better margins. All markets with less competition are higher in price, which is good for us. That's basically it. Yes, I don't have anything to add about that. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for your question. Our next question comes from Regis Cardoso from Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations on your results. Thanks for taking my questions, Renato, Edmar. One of the topics I would like to approach is the brand new car penetration. It drew my attention in the beginning of your presentation when you said that this is already representative in fleet management and outsourcing, representative of growth of fleet management. So I would like you, if possible, to share how representative it is in terms of share of your whole fleet. What can that mean in terms of future growth, and what kind of demand you have for this product? And then, with regard to, you know, the OEMs going back to normal production, or the new normal You gave some guidance of growth for your fleet along the year. What I would like to understand between today and what you expect for the end of the year, how do you think the breakout of cars is going to be a long time? Is it going to be lower in the first quarter, normal in the second, and then keeping the same pace in the third and fourth quarters? Or do you expect a ramp up acceleration throughout the year? And finally, the last point that you mentioned in the end of your presentation, which is the relative comparison of depreciation to your peers. You said that you have a more conservative standing with regard to depreciation. What I would like to understand is, why do you think this conservative standing is necessary vis-a-vis the prices of used cars already going up? So, would you think the why would you think you would have a lower depreciation? Thanks for your question. Okay, just to give you a bit more color, we are not talking about the volumes that we are selling monthly, but basically it's the whole of our inventory. Whatever we put to sell, we are selling. So today we have a much greater sale capacity than what we are selling today. So when supply is back to normal, we are going to see even greater growth. What do I see that I can tell you? A huge market. When you take a look of 1 million to 1.2 million cars sold to individuals in brand new cars, if you get the penetration of leasing outside in the United States, it's 40%. Other more developed markets, 60%. In Brazil, you would have a potential market of 480,000 cars a year. It's a lot of cars to sell. Today, you have very few players working with a scale that is, already making a difference in our market, but still very small in the market. So we are going to see a lot more operational capacity to buy cars for all markets and everything. It's more that than marketing limitation. I think it's going to be strong growth for everyone, and it's going to be the largest market for our sector in the future. I think that in the next 5 years, we can have more than 1 million cars. It's difficult to predict, in such a long term. But just for you to have an idea in terms of magnitude, for this market that has very good return, and with the scale that we have in the rental car, we can be very competitive, and we have the capillarity to provide after sales services everywhere in Brazil. When players do not have this capillarity, this is a lot more complicated. This is a business that is also abroad. OEMs are exploring this initiative, but several decided not to do that because after sales is very important. And in Brazil, in addition to after sales, maintenance, and services, you have theft and fraud prevention, car recovery. So these are things that we developed as know-how, and international OEMs will not have a success in scale in Brazil. So it is a very healthy market for us to explore for some time. Second question, fleet size quarter on quarter. It is what I told you. If you get our plan, we have two scenarios. One, when we already have something back to normal in the second quarter, and then we break out in second, third, and quarter that are strong. But it can be not as high in the second quarter and higher in the third and fourth. It will depend on supply. The point is, we can deliver results. And we have a discretionary decision of the company. You can buy more or less If we think it's important, we are going to go, and we have to support OEMs for them to go back faster. And this is what we are going to do. And we can have even positive surprises there. And talking about the third topic in terms of depreciation, Edmar can give you a bit more color, but I would like to give you my view. In the past, we're thinking about what this is, what the moment is. So we decided to have a safety margin, first of all. And then prices are strong. We are selling better compared to brand new cars, but I want to be prepared if things go down. No one today is certain about the future. So we wanted to have a very robust balance sheet, very strong. And if I don't know, I can decrease the depreciation a bit in the fourth quarter and move it to another quarter. Our cycles are short. It doesn't really make too much of a difference. So very soon, we are going to see stronger results in the Seminovos, and we decrease depreciation. But we have to be cautious, and that's what I call conservative, because it avoids us feel oscillations from the market. And this will just bring to better results in the future. Yes, there are two important points here. This is Edmar speaking. Clearly, in our assessment, we are in a Seminovos bubble. And that has to do with supply and demand. We have a reduced supply. You have prices up. As OEMs go back to normal, the prices of Seminovos can go down. So this is structural. And in terms of the company, we are not concerned about the cars that are going to be sold in the next coming months. The car is already depreciated and the price scenario is already given. What concerns us and makes us being a bit more cautious right now are the cars for us to sell in 22 that joined our fleet as mid last year. And we don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, the volatility of prices that we had in 2020 was huge. And that had consequences in terms of gross margin of Seminovos, results for all the companies. And that is why right now that we prefer to be a bit more cautious and perhaps sacrifice short-term results to ensure that the company is going to be prepared for any kind of scenario for 2022 in terms of depreciation. Very clear. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from the webcast from Ricardo Peixin from Tagus Investments. In the end of 2020, the automotive market was unbalanced in terms of supply and demand because of the lack of inputs. Brand new cars should be normalized in terms of production in the end of March, beginning of April. What is it like today? Are OEMs delivering cars as ordered? Thanks for your question. As we mentioned, they are. Everything that was delivered is according to a schedule. And we believe that we are going to go back to normal more towards the second quarter. The next question comes from Renato Ramos from Banco do Brasil. Can you talk about the acquisition of the fleet management fleet of CS Brazil? What be the amount and what sources of funding would you have? This is Edmar. Well, at preliminary, we are expecting a 100% equity operation. We do not have enough information to talk about value, timing, or other prices right now. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Faria from SulAmérica Investments. Good morning, Renato, Edmar, Camila. Congratulations on the results. I have two questions. First, could you talk about the evolution of SG&A in fleet management and its share in net revenues? And second, given the difficult scenario for the delivery of OEMs, are you having bottlenecks of brand new cars as you accelerated investments in advertising? Well, thanks for your question. Well, basically, this increases for the structure of brand new cars and reinforcement of our fleet management structure because we are going to grow more. So we increased our sales force, have our digital platform, premium cars. So this is what you see in the G&A. The results are showing already in the short term, but you have a period of mobilization, implementation, pipeline, but this is the structural change. Yes, in the press release, we highlight that in the year of 2020, we had this provisioning for bonus just in the fourth quarter. And we highlight the comparison of results just for you to understand better the evolution of one quarter against the other. So when you take in 2020, you see brand new cars just starting very lean, now a bit more robust, and you have also the bonus. And this is what I had to comment. Our next question, on audio from Morgan Stanley. Good morning, everyone. Renato, Edmar, congratulations for your results. Thanks for taking my question. My question is specifically about your rent-a-car growth strategy. Already in a scenario that you would have a normalized supply from OEMs. We see that this level of growth can even be higher than what we expected in the rent-a-car business. So I would like to comment how would that converse with the premium part of the rent-a-car and also Uber, an increase in the segment compared to the other players in terms of your top line. Thanks for your question, Jorge. I will give you some detail about our strategy, just starting with the end. We do not want to increase our share in Uber. It's an important market, it's a pocket of growth and occupation, but we want to grow in other segments. We prioritize individuals, as I mentioned, with daily rentals. And here, tourism, traveling is reduced, but short trips increased a lot with home office and also weekends, not only 2 days, but 3, 4 days, sometimes a whole week, which is another avenue of growth. So compared to pre-pandemic, decreased traveling, but other avenues growing. In corporate, in the past, we didn't have a corporate traveling with cars. And now we have more cars rented on a daily basis with corporate than we had pre-pandemic. And some people prefer just to go by car than by plane, especially for short trips. So this is going to stay and grow. And we also have shared risks. Prepaid packages that are growing. All these new products of ours are growing a lot and will continue to grow. So we are gaining a bit of share in corporate. If you take a look at our platform, there is still much room to grow. But we start with individuals and post-vaccination, going back to full traveling, we are going to have the niche that was important and lost competitiveness coming back. So this is even further growth for the market. So we believe that top line will have important growth with an even healthier mix than what we had pre-pandemic. And the average ticket in monthly rental, then you have also better margins. Very clear. Thank you very much. Thank you. Our next question comes from Alexandre Corbatin from 11. Hello, good morning, everyone. I have a question about the bond. Well, first, congratulations on being pioneer on this bond. And I have two questions. First, what percentage that you would use for the settlement of debts? And second, if you have any strategy for exchange rate hedging, if you have a specific strategy because of the exchange rate exposure. Hi, Alexandre, this is Edmar. Thanks for your question. Well, first, bond resources, approximately 40%. Should be allocated to our expansion CapEx at the base of 25,000 cars, and the other 70 would be for the payment of debt. We are now discussing internally, and we already contacted third parties to know what is most interesting for the company to prepay or to settle, thinking of cost, carryover, prepayment, and impact on our amortization profile. So we are already in execution, and in the coming weeks, we believe that we are going to have very positive results there. To your second question, in terms of hedging, we want to protect the interests in full. We are still discussing what kind of types of hedge we are going to have, but this is going to go on as of March. The message, we are going to hedge it all. We are still looking into what instrument is going to be used, but always thinking of bond duration, and additionally, trying to capture something right now in terms because you know that the exchange rate is quite volatile. I think this is what it is. I would like just to use the opportunity to get questions that came from the web. I'm going to talk about again, fleet management and outsourcing. What is the guidance of growth in terms of fleet? Renato, well, the main driver of growth, well, we are focused on fleet management and outsourcing, but the rent-a-car business still accounts for 60% almost of our EBITDA. So we want to bring more stability for the company, and we see brand new cars as an avenue of growth. So we will see fleet outsourcing gaining share in terms of EBITDA. In terms of investment, about 50-50, because the rent-a-car business can also grow in the short term. In the midterm, then the potential market is there for the brand new cars for us to have more predictability in the growth of fleet management outsourcing. But rent-a-car is growing. This is Edmar. I have a question from Giovanni. Cost of capital for this year. Well, Giovanni, clearly, if you look back in the peak of the crisis, there was an important increase in spreads. Then, more towards the end of the year, we saw spreads already trending down. Even the issuances that we had in the end of the year compared to the period in the beginning of the pandemic, quite different. But then, initial conversations, we clearly see that the fact we have access to this new market represented by the bond will really help the company, not in the very short term, but in the short term to improve its profile and evolve a lot in terms of capital flow. So it marginally improved compared to 1 year ago, but my personal perception is that this is going to get even better in the coming months. Basically, an improvement in the capital structure as a whole. There is a question from Mateus talking about apps. Just to make it clear and to reinforce what Renato mentioned, we do not want to increase our share among Uber apps. It is a seasonal tool, and in terms of competition, basically we talk about a market where you have three large players, Localiza, Unidas, and ourselves. And this is a business that somehow restricts us smaller players because of representativity. Since there are no further questions, I'm going to turn the call to the company management for their final considerations. Well, thank you all for attending another record, a quarter full of records, a record of participation as well. Again, consolidating a new level. We started the first quarter very well. We are very excited about 2021. Thanks, everyone, for letting Movida getting here. We have already a very positive future. And if you haven't rented a car yet, come and rent with us. Try our products. We have several types of products to meet all your needs. Have an excellent afternoon and all the best. Movida's conference call is now closed. We thank you very much for attending and wish you a good afternoon.